Right now, it is time to bring in our friend Brian Ross. It's time for Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning, and we take a look at some of the stories that we're following out there that are very, very real news. Good morning, Brian.
And good morning to you, Marshall, and the Democrats are calling it a shellacking.
It was a shellacking, but here's the interesting thing, and I said this on the air yesterday. We are still a long ways away from the midterm elections, and something along with the shellacking, first of all, they tried a retread in Virginia, and it didn't work, which was, once again, a Democratic mistake. New Jersey, the Democratic governor won re-election by a hair, but here's the thing. He's the first New Jersey Democratic governor to run re-election in many years.
Yeah, since 1977.
Yeah. So even though he won by a hair, with everything basically going against him, he won. Now, I have no idea about what type of governor he is or not because I'm not in New Jersey. But those are mixed results. But what's not mixed is how two Democratic senators are basically tearing apart the Democratic Party.
Well, there's certainly, and Joe Manchin, of course, the centrist, or I would call him a conservative Democrat from West Virginia, says the lesson is that he's right all along. They should all follow him and cut back the spending. That's how he read the results. And while others said, no, we've got to double down here.
With what happened in New Jersey, and also if you look at what happened in Virginia, the Republican running in Virginia is not necessarily a Trump-like candidate. He's a Republican, yes, and he has conservative ideas, but in him, I do not see the fever that most of the Republicans have of Donald Trump.
It's a very interesting template because he did not rebuke Trump, but he just told him not to come to the state, and Trump did not campaign in the state. He had an undercurrent of some of the really ugly parts of Trump, but without embracing it, he looked like a suburban dad with the khaki pants and the fleece jacket. And he perhaps is what all Republicans now will aspire to be. He essentially ran against Toni Morrison, who the author of Beloved, ran on behalf of parents deciding what should be taught in schools. And he ran without Trump. And it's a lesson, I think, that Republicans can win without Trump. If there's anything that's sort of out of this that I take as some refreshing news, is that the Republicans have found a way to win without bowing down to Donald Trump.
That's exactly the way I looked at it, and so to me, it's not a return to Trumpism with what happened between those two major races. And also, Brian, you and I know a day is a long time in the life of politics. Never mind
right.
a year. Who knows? Maybe Donald Trump is indicted in the next year. You know, I mean, there's so many. Maybe Kamala Harris becomes the president in the next. You know, there's so much that happens in a political life in 24
right.
hours. It's just we sit back and watch it. But the Democrats are well on their way to trying to screw things up. There's as a party, there's just no doubt about it.
They're absolutely. And yeah. If they're not going to read any lessons from this, if they're going to go right ahead and do the same thing, well, then that's not a formula for success. I do think this is a wake-up call for them, and it does give them the chance to reset and sort of try to decide, who are we? What are we running for? And this, of course, affects the negotiations going on in Washington.
All right.
As I said, Senator Manchin thinks that this shows that I was right all along. We're spending too much. Others are saying, no, we did not live up to our promises. And that's why you saw yesterday Speaker Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, adding back in, at least the House version, 4 weeks of paid leave. And now they're talking about a number of things that Manchin we know will oppose, but the House Democrats are going to go ahead and pass anyway, it seems, with a vote that could conceivably come today.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But like I said, politics is politics. And anything can happen in any given day. And if people don't believe that, look at the previous president, how he got elected with all the scandals and everything. It's a very volatile time. And politics in its own brand, Brian, as we know, is volatile in itself. Never mind when you mixed in the emotion that Donald Trump has brought into politics in the last 8 years.
Right, but I looked at it a little bit like you did, Marshall, that this indicates that Republican Party could be vibrant without Donald Trump, without, you know, bowing down at the altar of Trump, although he claims that everyone won because of him. It's not really the case. Yeah. Lots of these issues were very local issues.
Another thing that America has to look at when we talk about COVID-19, yes, we have a split in this country if people politically don't want to take the vaccine. Just take a look what's happening, though, in Russia, okay? Russia, which came out with their vaccine, they're having incredible problems with COVID-19, and they're having almost 50% of the population not trusting the vaccine or trusting the government as well. I mean, this is almost like a worldwide problem now.
Well, there is a resistance and hesitancy. I would say in Russia, they might have reason to doubt the effectiveness of the government vaccine. But, you know, it continues to amaze me the conspiracy theories that abound. But, of course, as you say, in Russia, there's a resistance and concern. I don't know if you haven't noticed that the White House correspondent for Newsmax sent out a tweet suggesting there was some kind of satanic tracker hidden in the vaccine. This is the White House correspondent for Newsmax, a very conservative outlet. And what was even more remarkable is that the company then rebuked her and said, no, that's not right at all, even though she still has her job as the White House correspondent. But when there are people listening to her and they see her, attractive young women standing in front of the White House saying that, this feeds a kind of fear and a conspiracy. It's, you know, what do you do about that? It's hard to control that.
Well, you can't. That's the amazing thing. And what I always tell people when they talk about, well, they're putting tracers, there's this and that. If you own a cell phone, guess what? The government can track you, okay? So let's get over it.
You know, any notion that there's some kind of fiendish plot with Trafalci playing the lead role of Satan trying to track Americans is so crazy. And it makes you wonder what's gone wrong with our schools if we have a population that can somehow believe that.
You know, something interesting on the ecology front, and that's what's happening with over in Europe and the rest of the world. This story: more than 40 countries have now committed to shift away from coal, but in those countries, the biggest users say no. We need to stick with coal. It's not a unanimous thing, and I don't know what this world needs. I don't know what this world needs to wake up. It's just one of those things that you just look at the past 20 years, and you look at the extremes in weather all over the world, and you know what? We're contributing to that. I sit here aghast. You know.
Absolutely, and of course it comes down to pocketbook issues, you know. If they're not mining coal, then who needs coal miners and coal companies? And they're out of work. And that becomes more important in terms of politics, jobs, than the environment, which seems to be kind of a far-off thing. And, you know, this is where leadership and political leadership is so important. And I don't see enough of that.
Yeah, and when we talk about political leadership, we're not just talking about the president. We're talking about major members of all the parties.
Absolutely,
there's got to be people that stand and fight. I mean, I keep going back, and if people want to go back and look when Ronald Reagan was president, and he did a lot of things that I absolutely thought were horrible, but Tip O'Neill kept the Democrats together and also was able to work with some things and propose a full loaf to President Reagan and come out with a half a loaf. We need people that want to stand up on their own and stand up for the values of their party and the people that elected them and show, you're right, show leadership. And we need it throughout the Senate. We need it throughout the House and not only the presidency. We need it in local leaders, too, because that's where it all begins.
Right. And that's, I think, history will be very kind to those who have led this and those who have continued to float conspiracies, who have continued to ignore what we see right in front of us in terms of climate change. History will not be kind to those people because we're on a course that needs to be severely altered and having a hard time doing it.
All right, and I want to go back to the trial, which is starting up with Kyle Rittenhouse. He's the kid that his parents let him go leave one state and go to another with a gun. And the judge said you can't call the people who shot victims because they were rioters. That surprised me. But also there's new surveillance video that shows him and shows the premeditation of what he did.
Yeah. It's an amazing trial. It's being covered live by the Law and Crime Network, where I work, and everybody else. And it is an amazing thing. It's as you say, the ruling by the judge that they cannot refer to the people who were killed as victims or even alleged victims, because that's a loaded word, yet the defense can call these people who were killed rioters and arsonists and looters. It seems like the thumb is on the scale there. We always want to give the most deference to the defendant. They should have every shot they can, because the government has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that they're guilty. But the question is, was it self-defense? And this will be a very, very closely watched trial, as is the trial of the three men in Georgia accused of killing the young African-American jogger, Ahmaud Arbery. The jury is going to be only one black American, and the others are all white. And the prosecution has objected vociferously to that, but that has been the case. The judge has refused to reseat every single one of the challenges by the defense was against somebody who was African American.
Now, the network that you're working for, have you seen? To me, there's been such a shift in what news covers and what's considered as important. Let's talk just for a minute here, the final minute. Have you seen that shift where you are, or is crime and long-term investigative reporting basically stayed the same?
There's a shift in interest, and some of it is fatigue with politics, I think. And, of course, there's just the natural attraction of a live, real-world drama, like a court case, where we don't know the outcome, and you watch and you follow it. And as you know, the true crime genre has become very, very popular on our network, on podcasts, and people follow these stories avidly. It's a little bit of a relief from real life, you know, in a way. It's that healthy. And I think, on the other hand, what I've seen is that investigative reporting is more alive and well in long-form documentaries, where there's resources committed. I'm working on one right now with HBO, and I've got a couple other things going in that world. But on the commercial networks, there's less room for it. If you watch the evening newscast, you'll last no more than a minute to 15, and that's a minute 30 is documentary length for them, and that's not a place for investigative reporting.
All right, Brian, always great and interesting to talk with you on these Thursday mornings. And have a good week, and we'll speak to you next week.
You too. Can't wait for it, Marshall. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Brian Ross and Real News on Robinhood Radio. Of course, you can find Brian on our on-demand page. Go to robinhoodradio.com, click on On Demand, click on Real News with Brian Ross.